Blog Talk Radio.
To our broadcast. I'm William Bell, your host today, and we're continuing our studies on the end times, speaking about those things that pertain to fulfilled Bible prophecy. As always, we're delighted to have those of you who are listening, and we thank you for taking the time to be with us. We hope and pray that some of the things which we are saying are being instructional to you, informative, and inspirational to you in terms of giving you a new understanding if you have not yet been acquainted with these things, but at the same time, if you are, to reinforce your understanding and to uplift you and encourage you. We want to express our appreciation for those of you who listen on a regular basis, as well as those who may be listening for the first time. We also have a number that you can call if you would like to ask questions or express your comments. Even we invite your criticisms. Our number is 646-378-1919. Again, the number is 646-378-1919. Feel free to give us a call and express your thoughts and concerns about the lessons, topics, the lessons and the topics that we are presenting. We also encourage you to ask your questions if you have questions and if you want to make some comments or if you have a criticism about some of the things that you've heard. Maybe you don't understand them. Maybe you do not accept them, and that's okay. We're not trying to get you to accept our thoughts about these things. We simply want to inform and educate you, and your decisions about them will be just that. They will be your decisions. We invite you to visit our website. Our website is located at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. And you can also visit us at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfilled.com. Now, our lesson today is entitled Why is the tribe of Dan not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7? So we're going to be studying from Revelation, which is a book about the end time. Of course, it's the last prophetic book in the Bible. It's a most misunderstood book. It is one that has created a lot of fear on the part of some. There are a lot of people who are afraid to read the book of Revelation because they think it's talking about all kinds of demons and events that are going to take place. Some people have been very distraught over it. They're expecting those things to happen in their lifetime, and it's created quite a bit of fear. On the other hand, it has created a lot of speculation. Well, it's not the book that's created it. It's the minds of men and the way in which they react to the message of the book of Revelation, which has created quite a bit of fear, quite a bit of misinformation regarding it, and a lot of fanciful speculation and theories. It is a very simple book to understand when you understand the framework and the context in which the book has been presented. And having that understood and knowing the history of the first century to a degree that you can get the contextual setting of the book when you understand its primary purpose and theme and follow along with all of the scriptural clues that God has given us to understand the book, then it becomes a bit more easy to understand. It is it actually becomes much more greatly understood as a result of having that kind of background. And the meaning unfolds. It's not very difficult whatsoever. And we can see how it applies to the various things that were stated both in the Old Testament and during the ministry of Christ, as long as we keep it within its proper context. Now, on yesterday and the day before, we started just a brief overview lesson on identifying the last days, and we pointed out the last days had to do primarily with the nation of Israel, with the ancient nation of Israel. Now, it does nothing to do with the nation of Israel as we know it today. That is not the same as the covenant nation that God brought out of Egypt, gave the land of Canaan, and operated with them through the old covenant for a time of 1,500 years. So we have to understand that that is a totally different nation. This was a state, if you please, that was reestablished in 1948, and as a result of land issues with the Arabs, and of course that contention is going on to this day. Now, many people have the understanding that there is some biblical prophetic relationship between the people who are today calling themselves Israel and the people who were named Israel in the Bible. There is absolutely, 100%, no correlation to those people whatsoever to the people in the Bible. And we will discuss this and explain this a little bit as we go through the lesson, because part of our lesson pertains to it. I want to encourage you to give us a call at 646-378-1919. I'm William Bell, your host, and I'm presenting the message to you, but this is an opportunity for you to engage in dialogue and conversation with us as well. We just don't want the dead airspace if you don't call in, and therefore we do try to keep things moving so that there is something to listen to. But at any rate, let's look at Revelation chapter 7. We're going to get the text before you, and then we'll lay a bit of a foundation and walk our way through the meaning of this text in terms of why the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. Now, the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 1, "After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." And then he names the tribes. He says of the tribe of Judah, 12,000, and he goes on with 12,000, each of the tribes, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So these are the tribes that are mentioned, but there is a tribe that is not mentioned. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of tribes that appear not to be mentioned in this context. One is the tribe of Dan, and the other is the tribe of Ephraim. And so the question is, why are these two tribes omitted from the 12 tribes of Israel as they are listed in the book of Revelation? And there are some reasons that have been given by some who want to suggest to us the reason why the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. Now, one of the reasons that it is suggested to us that the tribe of Dan is not mentioned in the enumeration of the 12 tribes, which are mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, is because the tribe of Dan was largely guilty of idolatry. And having been guilty of idolatry, convicted and condemned by God for such, God did not want anything that had to do with idolatry being mentioned in connection with Israel. As you may know, if you followed the history, and we talked a little bit about it on yesterday, the reason that God severed 10 of the northern tribes from Israel was because under King Jeroboam, they set up calf worship in Dan and Bethel and turned the people's hearts away from God so that they worshiped all of these idol gods, and God carried them away into Assyrian captivity in 722 B.C. And they remained in Assyrian captivity. He never did bring them back into the land, per se, as a nation. As a matter of fact, we also studied that when he took them out of the land, that they were replaced with people from Babylon and from other places to inhabit the place of Samaria. So the people who had been transported into Samaria were no longer the people of Israel, and that's why the people of the southern kingdom would not go through Samaria. They would cross over the Jordan, go around the east side, and then they would come back into land of Canaan to go to Galilee. And when you read in your New Testament regarding the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well, she was quite startled that a person who was a Jew, meaning Jesus, was willing to even have a conversation with the Samaritans. You see, they were not considered people of God. They understood the history that the Samaritans had been transported into the place of the northern tribes, and so the northern tribes had been cast off, cast out of God's sight because of their idolatry. Now, people say that, and Dan, of course, was the northernmost tribe, and people say, therefore, that Dan was guilty of idolatry and for that reason was not included among the 12 tribes listed in the book of Revelation. Now, one of the passages that is used is Judges chapter 18, verses 30 and 31, where the text says, "Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." So here we have the tribe of Dan being involved in this idolatry, but the tribe of Dan was not the only tribe that had ever been guilty of idolatry. As a matter of fact, I will go so far as to say that God wiped out the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes, because of their idolatry in Assyrian captivity, as we mentioned a moment ago, and said to them in the book of Hosea that you are not my people, and I will not be your God. They had been cast off and basically considered as among the Gentiles, or as Gentiles, because they were no longer considered as the people of God in the land. Remember, God, or rather, the king of Assyria replaced the people of Samaria that he had carried off into captivity with people out of Babylon and other nations. And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 17. Now, when we look further at this question of why Dan is not mentioned in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, where he talks about the 12 tribes and the 144,000, why is they're not mentioned? Now, that would create a problem for natural Israel today, that is, the people that are called Israel. And again, I want to make it very clear, and you will see why as we progress through the lesson, that the people who call themselves Israel today occupying the land of Palestine have no biblical covenantal connection with the people who were existing in the first century, who came out of Egypt under Moses and who inhabited the land of Canaan for that 1,500-year period. There is no more correlation to that nation with people today who might call themselves, because those people were transported from Europe and from other places, just like the people during the days of the Assyrian captivity had been transported into the land of Palestine. They are not the original indigenous people, the inhabitants of Israel, and there is much confusion, much misinformation, much false prophesying going on regarding them, and people believe that they have some connection with the end time, and they have no connection whatsoever, and we will establish that as we progress in the lesson today. So the Lord warned Israel, as we said before, that they were not to go into the ways and the practices of the people who were before them. That's the reason God removed the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's why he removed them out of the land, because of their idolatrous practices, because of their wickedness. And he didn't do it immediately because he says the cup of their iniquity was not full. That's what he told Abraham. But he did tell Abraham in Genesis 15 that his people were going to go into Egypt and then return to this land, but it was going to be after 400 years from the time that God gave Abraham the promise. And that's why when we open the book of Exodus, it says, "But when the time of the promise drew near, a new king arose who knew not Joseph. And so the people grew, multiplied in Egypt, but God raised up a leader in Moses to deliver them, to bring them into the land of Canaan, because it was so full of iniquity by the present inhabitants that God had to remove them from the land, lest wickedness permeate the entire earth. And therefore he brought in the people, gave them a covenant. They agreed that they were going to obey his covenant, to do his will. He promised to make a nation of them, to give them a land that was flowing with milk and honey, but they had to obey him and do the things that he required of them. Now, they didn't do it. Shortly after, they were given the law, as a matter of fact, while they were in the process of receiving the law. Moses had gone up into the mount to receive the law, and Israel was committing idolatry, having fashioned a golden calf. They took the gold, the earrings, and all the things that they had borrowed as reparations from the Egyptians, and fashioned them, put them into the fire, and fashioned them into a golden calf, and the people began to worship it. They rose up to eat and drink, rose up to play. They worshipped and celebrated this golden calf as the god that brought them out of Egypt. Angered God so much so that he had decided to destroy them, and Moses, of course, was able to intercede and prevent God from wiping Israel out. At that point in time, they continued their digression into idolatry, into the Assyrian captivity in 722 B.C., and then the southern kingdom, even Judah, went into captivity because of their idolatry. They were carried off into Babylon, and they served the king of Babylon for 70 years. That was prophesied by Jeremiah. And they remained in Babylon for 70 years, and then they returned under Cyrus. And we see, therefore, that this idolatry was a part of Israel's history, not just of the 10 tribes, but of the other tribes as well. So how, then, can we say that because Dan committed idolatry, that's why his name is omitted? If it were based merely on the ground of the committing of idolatry, then not only would not Dan's name be mentioned in this connection, but also we would not have any of the other tribes. Now, Ephraim was also a name that comes up. Why is the name of Ephraim not mentioned? Because he was one of the 12 tribes. Well, Ephraim was the son of Joseph along with Manasseh. We do find Manasseh mentioned in this text. Now, the book of Hosea speaks specifically about Ephraim, but in that context, Ephraim represents the 10 tribes. And so Ephraim would be a name that was symbolical of the entire northern kingdom. Now, what did God tell Ephraim? He said, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. So Ephraim, likewise, was joined to idols. But now we have to understand that here is the name of Joseph mentioned in the connection. And, of course, Joseph may be representative of Ephraim if we want to look at it that way. But the point being is that Dan was a part of the northern tribes, and so if we look at it representatively, you could not omit them from that point of view. But that's not the issue to be focused on. It is not a matter of 12 physical, natural tribes of Israel in the book of Revelation. That is not the context. So let's establish the context, and let's identify the Israel that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 7. First and foremost, the book of Revelation is a book that is written in signs and symbols. As we said before, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, this verse is so key to understanding the book that most people run right over it and try to get into the meat. They want to know who the beast is. They want to know who the mother of harlots is. They want to know who two prophets are. They want to know about the Battle of Armageddon. They want to know all these things, and that's okay, and that's good. But the key to understanding what those things are and how to interpret them is found in the first verse of the book. It's also in the end of the book. This is one of the key texts to understand it. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show. So now here's a revelation God is giving to his servants to show them. In other words, for their understanding, to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So that's a clue. That's a huge clue. These were things that were shortly to take place. Furthermore, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Now when he says he signified it, that means to signify. That means that he used signs and symbols to depict what he meant in the book. He didn't just come straight out and say everything. in black and white. He used these signs and symbols that were representative of other things. And you have to be able to understand what the sign and symbol means to get the understanding of the book of Revelation. Now notice verse 3 as well. It says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Now, we have things which were shortly to come to pass. They were signified in symbols, and the time was near for those things to take place. So, when the Bible talks about the 144,000, one of the questions that ought to be at the forefront of our minds is, are these literally 144,000 people? Are they literally the 12 tribes of Israel? Now, if you will understand that God had cut off 10 tribes, and he was only dealing with the southern kingdom, when we look at the New Testament, that's Judah, Benjamin, and a portion of the tribe of Levi. That's all that remained of the tribes that were in covenant relationship with God. So the 12 tribes no longer existed in the time of Christ. Now, the Bible does talk about restoring Israel, but we need to understand what restoring Israel is all about. So let's get a few passages so that we can grasp the meaning of that and carry that understanding over to the book of Revelation. In John, the 4th chapter, Jesus had a conversation with the woman at Samaria. We talked about her a little bit earlier, but here's a very important conversation. They were in discussion over the place where men ought to worship God. Now, here's the passage that just destroys the idea and the concept that the place of Palestine today is the holy place of God. This just destroys that idea. So here's what this woman says after she perceived that Jesus was a prophet. This is found in John chapter 4, verse 20. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." And she's probably standing there pointing to Mount Gerizim, which was in Samaria. And she said, "And you Jews say," you see how she distinguishes herself from the Jews? Remember, the Assyrians placed people from other nations in Samaria. She's not a Jew. She's talking about the people who came up from Jerusalem and Judea. Those were the Judahites or the Jews. And so she said, "And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So they were in a conversation about places or locations of where they should worship God. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Now he says, not only is the place where you are not going to be the place of worship, but not even in Jerusalem is the place of worship. And people today are trying to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem so they can reclaim and reenact old covenant worship. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Jesus said, "You're not going to worship in Jerusalem. That's not the place of worship." He says, "You worship what you do not know. The reason people are doing it is because of ignorance. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." They were the people that God had given the promises. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers," now he's talking about the location, "will worship the Father," where? "In spirit," that's a location, "and in truth." Those are spheres or locations of where God is worshipped today. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "We are the circumcision who worship God," where? "In the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh, whose praise is not of men but of God." So they worship God in a new location, in the realm of the spirit. And the realm of the spirit, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is contrasted with the realm of the letter or the law, meaning the old covenant of Moses. The realm of the spirit is the new covenant realm. So those who enter into the new covenant relationship with God are in the realm of the spirit, and that's where we worship. It doesn't matter what location we are. That's why Lydia could worship under a tree. That's why people could worship from house to house. That's why it doesn't matter. You can be out on the lake, you can be under a tree, you can be across the ocean. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says, there am I in the midst of them. And so no claim to any dirt today, I don't care where it is, and certainly not in Palestine. Now, in John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now here these Jews retorted back, what do you mean, saying we can be made free? They said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now they had to obviously be talking about themselves in their day and time, because they weren't talking about Jews in the past. They weren't talking about the people who had spent almost 215 years in bondage in Egypt. They weren't talking about those who went into Assyrian captivity and who were still not in the land of Canaan. They weren't talking about the Jews who spent 70 years in Babylon. So they had to be talking about themselves at that day and time. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, here's what Jesus had to tell them. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He said, but here's how I know that you are not Abraham's children, because you are seeking to kill me, and this Abraham would not have done. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad, and yet here you are wanting to stone me to death, wanting to kill me. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father he will do, you will do. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here's Jesus laying this foundation that these people who are claiming Abraham's blood are not really the true Israel of God. John the Baptist told them the same thing when they came out to his baptism, saying, don't think to call yourselves children of Abraham. God is able of stones to create children of Abraham. He says, you therefore need to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. In their state of mind, in their heart, they were not the children of Abraham. So here's what Paul had to say about Israel in Romans chapter 9. This is very important. Romans 9. And it looks like we're going to do this lesson in two parts. So we're going to reschedule and we're going to finish this lesson in a second part, because we just simply didn't get to as much of it as we wanted to today in this 30 minutes that we had. But look at Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, beginning at verse 6. And actually, I'm going to read a little earlier than that. I'm going to start in verse 3. He says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, what? According to the flesh. See, there were Jews according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Now watch verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So what Paul is establishing is that there is a spiritual Israel, and we would do well to focus on the spiritual Israel as we open up the book of Revelation. We're going to say more about this on Monday when we return, and we do invite you to tune in on Monday to look at the or to listen to the remaining part of this discussion on why Dan is not mentioned in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. There are some more important points that we want to convey to you in regard to this. We do thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure being with you. We hope that you've enjoyed the messages that we have brought to you this week. Take a moment and visit our website at www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Or you can visit www.allthingsfulfill.com. www.allthingsfulfill.com. And we'll continue to bring you lessons from the Bible on fulfilled Bible prophecy. Jesus announced that his coming was at hand in the first century. He said the time was fulfilled. The apostles said the end of the ages had come upon them. They expected the end time in their lifetime, and God cannot lie. That's the message we bring to you. We are not in the last days. The last days happened over 2,000 years ago. We do ask God to bless you and keep you, and we'll see you on Monday.